right. Well, good morning, Three Circle Church. We have all of our campuses join us right now and all of those online. We're going to continue today the Keys series. And what we're going to do each week is we're going to build a bit of a foundation from which we will jump and kind of build into the topic of the day. And the foundation for the whole series is this passage in the book of Revelation where John was an old guy. John was placed on the Isle of Patmos by the Roman Empire. He's there and Jesus shows up. Jesus visits him, and he makes a statement that we are going to build off of for several weeks now. We did last week. We'll do it again today. So let's go to Revelation 1, 17 to 18. We're just going to start in the Word. It says this, that John saw the resurrected Jesus, glorified, and Jesus talks to him on that island. When I saw him, he says, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he, Jesus, laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Now, the first thing Jesus tells John is to not be afraid. And remember, what he's saying to John, he's saying to us as well as Christians. He says, don't be afraid. Don't live in fear. And he gives three reasons. Number one, he says, I'm the first and the last, meaning he is God. He's the eternal one. He does not have a beginning or an end. He's the forever Son of God. And so he is God. We don't need to be afraid of anything if we know him. Number two, he says, I was dead and now alive. So he talks about the resurrection. He says, I am the one who defeated death. So you don't have to be afraid of anything anymore. And then the third thing that he said that we are building the series on is he says, I have the keys to death and Hades. I hold the keys. And what we'll say about that is that these keys that he speaks of means they symbolize authority. Authority. You'll want to write that down. The keys mean authority. Okay. So if you own a house, they give you the keys. If you own a car, they give you the keys. Keys mean authority. Now, what does that mean in our lives? And what I'm going to attempt to do today in the rest of this series is I want to connect the dots for all of us between this big, lofty, theological concept of the authority of Christ over everything. I want to connect the dots of that big idea to your everyday life, to my everyday life. I want to make sure that you see that what we're talking about on this Sunday is going to impact your Monday and your Tuesday and your Wednesday, okay? I want you to see that your life, as insignificant as you are tempted to believe that it is actually far more important and significant than you could ever imagine. And all of this is going to fall under the authority of Christ. So let's talk about that. First of all, let's set the foundation that Jesus has authority. He has those keys. In Matthew 28, 18, Jesus said this. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, how much authority does Jesus have? What does it say? All authority. And not just in heaven, because I think we disconnect that as well. We think, well, of course, Jesus is in charge in heaven. And when we get to heaven, everything will be, no. Jesus says, no, I've been given authority on heaven and on earth. There's nothing that he does not have. And here's a word you need to know. He has positional authority over all things. He's been given the keys. But now here's the thing. How many of you look around the world and you see people acting outside of the authority of Jesus? Would you agree with that? So what that means is that he has positional authority, but we all get a part to play in this. And it's very important that you and I as Christians, that we understand that we are to bring our lives under that authority. He already has positional authority, and the Bible says that one day, every knee is going to bow, meaning one day, everything, all creation, every person, all dominions, everything's going to come under his authority. He's going to force the issue one day. And this tells me this is the truth. Adolf Hitler's going to bow his knee to Jesus one day. You just need to know that. Stalin's going to bow the knee. Every dictator who's ever lived and ravaged people is going to be under his authority one day by his power. That's coming. That's a one-day thing. But now listen, yeah, we celebrate that as Christians. But that day hasn't come. We live in the in-between. We live in a time where he has positional authority over everything, but there are lots of things that are happening outside of his functional authority. He has authority over all things, but we as Christians get to live out in front of the world that we're going to put our lives under his authority, and we're going to show the world this is what it looks like for every area of my life to be under his authority, okay? And this is going to affect our personal lives. We're going to talk about that next week. But today we're going to talk about what does it look like for Jesus to have authority over all creation. And that's a very important concept today, because Jesus says here, not just in heaven, but on earth. This means that all things have been created by him and for him. And so what we'll say to this is that Jesus holds the key of authority over the kingdom. We talked about that last week, and over creation. You don't want to miss next week, because we're going to talk about our personal lives that have to get under that umbrella of his authority. Today we're going to look at creation. And let me tell you how Jesus helps us understand this. And what I want to do is I want to today connect the dots between Christ's authority over creation, over your everyday life, and I'm going to use two things to help you understand that. I'm going to connect the dots between the authority of Christ over creation and this thing right here, that lawnmower. And I'm going to connect the dots between creation and that thing right there. Okay? So a lawnmower and a vacuum cleaner. Now, why did I pick those two things? Number one, neither one of them are gender related, because my wife and I both do yard work together and we both clean the house together, and maybe it tips one way or the other depending on your situation. I know people who just love yard work, other people love housework, whatever, but here's why I picked them. Those two things are transcendent to what your profession is. So today, all of us probably have a yard or an apartment or something we're taking care of inside and out. And that's a little slice that God has given us of the kingdom, that he's over all things. But he's given me a little quarter acre, you know, with my house, and I got a yard. And so when we mow the grass and when we clean our house, which all of us typically do, it's a transcendent idea, then we are connecting to Christ's authority over all of creation. I want to show you that today. Now, that means that if you're a doctor, you know, I could have used a stethoscope up there, so you just apply your world to that. If you want to apply more distinctives, if you are a builder or a construction person, if you're a teacher, if you're a lawyer, if you're a stay-at-home mom, there's so many things. I could have put a box of Pampers up there and said, I'm going to connect the dots between this and the authority of Christ over all things. I want to show you today that your Monday morning matters. We were planning the series for a long time, and I was in a meeting with our teaching team. And we have a team of teachers here. And one of them, who is the pastor in Thomasville, Nick Williams, and they're opening their brand new campus next week. We're so excited about that. And you have played a massive part in that. But we were sitting there, and he said one day, he said, you know what? He said, what we've got to do is help people understand, watch this, that there's majesty in the mundane. And I looked at him, and I said, you know what? You stole that from somebody. That's just too good, man, you know? He said, no, it's original. So we are fully attributing one of our pastors, Nick Williams, with that incredible statement, because we tend to think that what we do is so mundane. And we want to show you today the majesty in your everyday life, in the mundane parts of your life. That vacuum cleaner, that lawnmower, they matter. And here's why. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus connected the dots. When he taught us how to pray in Matthew 6, 9 through 10, he said this, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And look at the next statement. Your kingdom come. We talked about it last week. Well, what does that look like? Here it is. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you see the trail? Jesus says, I have authority over all heaven and earth. When he tells us to pray as Christians, he wants us to pray in that way. He wants to see the same authority that he has in heaven displayed on the earth. And what does that look like? His will being done. Now let's talk about that for a second. If you and I were in heaven right now, how many of you know everyone does everything Jesus tells them to do in heaven? Would you agree with that? And if you don't, you get kicked out. Just talk to the devil. He'll let you know how that went down for him. All right? So watch this. So in heaven, everything is not just under his positional authority. He has fully leveraged his authority. And everything in heaven is actively underneath his authority, right? But you and I know that on this earth, it's not that way. You can look around and see things that are, and the consequences are unbelievable to being outside of his authority, okay? But what Jesus says, we should pray, and it starts with us. Now, here's the mistake churches and Christian culture make sometimes. We think that what God is wanting is for us to go out and make sure everybody out there cleans up their act. We become the police. And we go out there and we bring them all up under, like we're going to drag you if you want to or not. We're getting you under this umbrella. And the problem is the world's going, you're not even under the umbrella. Seriously? You're going to talk about me being outside of the umbrella? You're not under the umbrella. So I want you to know that this starts with us, not political movements, not cultural movements, not philosophical movements. It starts with Christians and their homes and their churches getting their lives underneath the authority of Christ over all things for the world to see. That's how this works. Okay? So as we look at this, Jesus says, you should pray in your own life and then for the world to see it happen more and more. That your life, your home, your church, the way you operate looks like it would as if you were in heaven. That you just do what he says to do. That you're bringing your world underneath the authority of Christ. So a few things to note here. Number one, if you were in heaven, everything actively glorifies God in heaven. Everything. Everything. It all does. Secondly, in heaven, everyone, not just everything, but everyone obeys God completely in heaven. The Bible says the lion and the lamb will be beside each other. But not only that, but people, every human in heaven will obey God completely. In heaven, all things are in alignment with the values of the kingdom. You don't look around heaven and find anything outside of his values, his active authority. And what this means when he says for us to pray this way is that Christians and churches, we are called to represent the kingdom, that kingdom, he even says to pray that way, on this earth as we gather and we scatter. Now, what does gather look like? It looks like this. We come together in churches and we gather, and this is important and sacred. The problem is we've majored on gathering and we minor big time on the scatter part. The problem is you and I are going to be scattered in this community, and wherever you're watching today, you're going to be scattered as a Christian across our communities far more than we gather together. Our gathering together is sacred, but it's supposed to be a jumping off point. It's supposed to be the springboard for all of us. We recharge here, we do this thing together, and then we go out into the world, we scatter, and we live out these values in the world where we go. The problem is too many of us have disconnected the dots. We think Christianity happens here in our buildings or online in this environment, and then we disconnect from it and go live our life. And a few things happen there. We stop representing God in everything we do. Massive mistake. And secondly, we lose purpose and joy that we were meant to have. God wants you to see your everyday life as truly purposeful and majestic. But too many of us don't. We disconnect it. We just see it as the mundane. And yet Jesus says, no, every time you obey and live for my glory, and every time you flip a burger, change a diaper, teach a kid, coach a team, make the deal, do things with integrity, do things well, love your grandkids, be kind to your spouse, help an elderly person, help a person in need, just go on, I could list all day long. Every bit of that is connected to the authority of Christ over all creation. That's how much this matters. And so let's take a little path here. And let's go all the way back to the beginning, because what I want to build for you is a theology today, if we can, that'll help us with this, that'll help us tear down that and connect those dots so tightly in a way that'll bring us joy. You'll wake up tomorrow going, oh, what I'm going to do today, whatever that might be, is going to matter big time for the glory of God. So let's look at the first thing that we see God doing. And I would argue today the first thing you see God display is his authority over creation. Genesis 1, 1 through 4 says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. So it was chaotic. There was no form. It was chaos. And darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. There was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Now, how much power does there have to be to do that? And he goes on. If you read it, we didn't have time to go through it. You can go home and read it. He does that over and over again. He takes this mass of movement and creation, and he begins to order it into place where it becomes glorifying to him. It becomes organized. It becomes beautiful. It becomes flourishing. It's an unbelievable thing. And we look at the sheer power of that. Now, humans cannot do what he just did because he did it out of nothing. We call that ex nihilo. God created everything out of nothing. But what I want to show you today is that you're supposed to do stuff like that. You cannot do that. You've never created anything out of nothing. You've been using the Play-Doh set God gave you. And the greatest scientist ever used the Play-Doh set that God gave him or her. And so today, though, we are meant to be like this. So we see here that God brought order to the chaos of all creation. Write that down, would you? He brought order to chaos. That is something he does. And every time you and I in our everyday lives bring order to chaos, we are acting like him. We're bringing glory to him, and we're showing the world without going out and just hammering everybody with this movement and that movement. We're going to take over and all that. No, no, we're just going, hey, watch us do this. Watch us do this. Watch how we live our lives to the glory of God. We bring order to chaos. Let me tell you what happens this time of year. In my house, in my yard, I look out of my yard, stuff starts growing. And sometimes stuff starts growing that's not supposed to be there. I look out my yard and go, huh, that's clover. I didn't plant that. Little birds overhead are like, we did. We helped you with that. Like, no, I didn't ask for that. That's not supposed to be there. And then in other areas, there's some weeds. In some other areas, there may be some spots where there's grass under the ground. It doesn't want to come out right now. And what I want to show you is when I get out there and fertilize and edge and weed eat and crank up the lawnmower, I am bringing order to that chaos. And I know it seems like it doesn't matter, but that's why I want to show you today the thing that we all just think it's just part of life. No, 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 that matters. You are acting like your father when you order the chaos of a yard. Or when, I don't know how it is at your house, I got teenagers now. I feel like it's some kind of college party every night that I wake up to every morning. I'm like, why? Look, I go Braveheart on my family. Have you ever seen the movie Braveheart? It's my favorite movie. And I go William Wallace. I'm like, there's a trash can right there. The trash can is five steps away. I'm going to put some paint on, war paint, have a sword in my hand, right? And go, why won't you pick up your trash? To the glory of our Lord. Maybe get some tears going. The trash can's there. Your trash is here. And then I'll get, I didn't do that. And I'm like, you did do that. I didn't do it. Your mama didn't do it. And when I really get them, it's like there's three kids. And when there's only one at the house that night because the others are at a friend's house and there's a mess, we wake up to it, mess in the living room. You go, why did you do it? I didn't do this. Like, they weren't here. It was you. And now we got another problem. We got character issues. You're lying. Right? But when we get in there, you get the vacuum out and everybody starts working and you clean it up, you put stuff where it goes and it looks beautiful again, you think that's just a part of life. And that's where you're wrong. Because we need to connect the dots between the glorious authority of Christ over all things. And I know it's not as impressive, but when God said, let there be light in the darkness, and he brought order to the chaos, you, in a way, are doing the same thing. It's far less impressive. It's not cosmic in its reach, but in your little slice of the world, you just brought order to chaos, and guess who you just imitated for the world to see, for your kid to see, for one another to see. See, your life really does matter. So God brought order to chaos, and creation, all of creation kind of shows this is who he is. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher and theologian from the 1800s, said this incredible quote. He says, does not all nature around me praise God? If I were silent, I should be an exception to the universe. Does not the thunder praise him as it rolls like drums in the march of the God of armies? Do not the mountains praise him when the woods upon their summit wave in adoration? Does not the lightning write his name in letters of fire? Has not the whole earth a voice? And shall I, can I, silent be? I love that quote. Spurgeon, like only Spurgeon could, is saying, every time you hear lightning crack across the sky, that is creation saying, he made me. I belong to him. And in a greater way, as great as all of that is, there's nothing. We are the apex of creation. This is what I'm trying to build for you today. I'm trying to get you to see that as great as God ordering the entire universe was, as great as what Spurgeon's talking about, with wind and waves and lightning and creatures all bringing him praise, nothing has the potential to glorify God like you do. Nothing. Nothing can like people. So in Genesis 1:26, we get to us, our part in the story. It says, after he's made all these things Spurgeon just talked about, then God said, let us, Trinitarian reference, Father, Son, Spirit, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. There it is, like him. We have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth. Over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. What do we see here? We see that we're made in his image. We call that the Imago Dei. That means we're made like God. We are in his image. We are not God. If you ever hear some preacher somewhere use language like, we're little gods, run, turn your TV off, turn that podcast off, take that book and put it where it needs to be, the trash can. That is not biblical theology. You are not a god. You are not a little god. You are created by the one and only living God, and you're meant to reflect his glory. Amen? And so when we do that, I got one person in the bag and I love it. I got that one person. I'll just keep going for everybody else. I got a little time here. And so when we do what we do, when we take, as he says, dominion, by the way, what does dominion mean? We like to turn that into like a militant thing. See, God wants us to be militant. No, what it means is when I mow my grass. See, that's why I just want to get it to that point. When you don't let your kid, your little baby, let me talk to the moms or dads who are at home right now. And most of the time it's going to be a mom. And you feel like every day you're like, it is the same thing every day. You telling me that matters? Yeah, I'm telling you that you not letting your little babies walk around that house all day with a dirty diaper. And you not letting that house just get totally just crazy chaotic. And you keeping order and your kids aren't playing out in the highway. Right? They're not walking around the neighborhood with dirty diapers on. Someone help me. Someone's going to go, what are they going to do? They're going to, where's their mom and dad? Where are their mom and dad? Right? No, the fact that that doesn't happen, I want you to know that matters. That is you acting like your heavenly father and your little slice he's given you. And I get it. You're not creating worlds. You're changing diapers. I get it, guys. You're weed eating your yard. It feels like it doesn't matter. But you're going to miss all this purpose and joy God has for you if you think your Christian life comes down to an hour and a half every Sunday at a church building. You are missing the point. It's so much more. And so we're created in his image, so we are to act that way, to be that way. In fact, Genesis 2:15 says, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. I want you to miss this, because you're going to spend more time outside of these buildings and outside of this online environment than you are in it. And listen, this is sacred. By me emphasizing the scattered part of what we do as a church, I'm not minimizing the gathered. This is sacred ground. We put everything we got into this in so many ways, but what we need to do is start maximizing the scattered part. I want to see you unleash the values of the kingdom in your worlds, in your environments where you're going to be every day. That's what it means to keep it, to do what Adam did. And I think it's awesome. Because a lot of us think that work is a part of the curse. A lot of people think, you know what? Adam had it made. He was laying in a recliner till he and Eve ate that apple, and I'm not even convinced it was an apple because I like apples. I think it was like a cantaloupe. I don't like cantaloupe, and I just think that's what they had in the garden. Why did it have to be an apple? Why does every picture have an apple? It has nothing to do with the sermon today. It's a personal thing for me, okay? But a lot of people think that when sin entered the picture, God said, now you're going to go to work. No, 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 no. The verse that I just read to you was before sin. Work is a gift. God gave work to us as humans as a gift that brings us joy and him glory. And so I just want you to know that before Adam even had a wife, he had a job. And I think that's a really good way of doing things. Maybe we should learn. I got a daughter. Maybe, you know, when a guy says, I'd like to date your daughter, I'll be like, well, what kind of job you got? You got a job? And then if they go out and get a job and come back, I'm going to go, dude, I was just playing. You ain't dating my daughter. I don't care if you got a job or not. I know. Here's the deal, though. We need to start seeing our lives differently. We need to see majesty in the mundane. And I desperately want you to connect these dots, because we have done a disservice in the church, in particular in America, of making it all about this thing we do when we get together. And I want to unleash you guys to carry the joy and values and excellence and passion of the kingdom into every environment you go in. We need lawyers on fire for Jesus. We need teachers that bring that to the table. We need people out there, men and women, using what God gave them to do and gifted them to do and trained them up to do for His glory. That's what we desperately need. Now, let me just help you. And that's going to get way more done than whatever latest, hottest, coolest political movement that's being bantered about on the TV stations that's making billions off of us letting them stir our pot all the time. Now, I know that's not popular. I know people, what's he talking about? Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Let's be honest. And you can reach me. I'm very reachable at russellcrill@threecirclechurch.com. If you're new with us today, that's one of our pastors. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand that God's got a purpose for us every day. The world needs to see us living underneath His authority and showing them this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like for a Christian life to be under His authority, not just on Sunday, but on Monday. Not just on Sunday, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's what we're talking about here. And He had a job, and He did it to His glory. As image bearers, we're supposed to imitate the work of God in creation. All right, let me say that again. The guys in the back will put it on the screen for us. As image bearers, we are supposed to imitate the work of God in creation. We're imitating Him. We are not just like Him. We do not create out of nothing. I get it. It's not as impressive. My wife and I, when our kids were little, it wasn't Braveheart speeches then. I tried. They didn't listen. They just needed to be kept alive, right? So in the middle of the night, we've been there. Crying baby starts crying. And my wife is such an unbelievable mother. Better mom than I'll ever be a dad. Just unbelievable just how natural and the beauty of my wife's motherhood over our children is astounding to me. And it points to the glory of Jesus. But there were times where it would be like, hey, it's my turn to go and feed the baby that night. And I would go in there and get that bottle and warm that bottle up and do all those things. And it felt like no one's ever read a book about me doing that. No one wanted to video it. There's no podcast out there about it. And I'd go get that baby. And I had this chair I would sit in and I would start feeding them. And this is how, don't judge me here, but I fell asleep several times. I just fall asleep. And I've awakened before and everything's okay. So the Lord protected, right? And I'm very grateful for that. I'll get an email about that, I bet. But they're all alive, doing really well as far as I know, okay? And so, and I might be tempted to think, this doesn't matter that much. But when I brought order to the chaos of my baby's life, when he or she could not feed themselves, and daddy did, when we created an environment where they were safe, when we plugged up the electrical sockets so that they couldn't stick a knife in there and go, check this out, man. You know, we did that. That's order to chaos. When we put a chain, it didn't look good on our front door. I remember when we drilled and we had to put a chain on there because my oldest son, when he was little, would be like, oh, cars, you know, and go out into the street. You brought order to chaos. You think it didn't matter? It did matter, because what we did is maybe the world wasn't watching, but our kids saw that mom and dad bring order to chaos. And in a way, we're saying, this is who God is. This is who He's better, bigger, greater. We're just a little sliver. But in our little world, we try to bring order to chaos to His glory, because it all matters. It all belongs to Him. You see that? And it brings joy. It brings joy, because the worst thing in the world is to live day after day and year after year and decade after decade thinking your life doesn't matter. So today, I want you to know that the very least of those things, mundane of those things, like a lawnmower and a vacuum cleaner, can bring glory to God and joy to you when you see it connected to what we're talking about today. Colossians 3:23 says it like this: whatever you do, work heartily. And here's the key that unlocks it of authority. You ready? Work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Remember His authority. Christians have a king. And whatever we do, And how many of you have ever worked for someone that you thought, I'd rather not work for them? You ever been there? What is the answer for the Christian for working for difficult people? Remembering every day that you don't actually work for them. That everything you do is for the glory of God. And if no one else sees it, he does. And then in your little world, you're going to bring everything you can underneath his authority so that some, that's what Paul said, so that some would see his glory and come to him. And you're just going to live every day knowing, yep, it matters. Yes, this matters to his glory. Everything I do for his glory. So what I want to tell you today is that our work has purpose and it produces joy when we understand that we ultimately work for the King. And it's why today I wanted to connect the dots between that lawnmower and that vacuum cleaner and whatever you fill that blank in with. If you sell property, fill the blank in there. If you teach children, fill that blank in with that world. If you're a lawyer, your case load. If you're a pharmaceutical salesman, the people you're going to visit this week and try to help and try to do something with. If you have a restaurant, what does that look like for you? What do you do? If you have retired and now you're a grandparent, you're a different stage of life, what are you doing with your everyday life? Collecting seashells? Or does your life have purpose? Are you purposefully living for the glory of God? Right now, it's transcendent across our ages, across our genders. What are we doing? And it's so easy to stand back and look at the world and say, you guys need to clean up your act. And the world looks at us and goes, you're not even under the umbrella. You talking about me being under the umbrella? And so far be it from us to spend our energy trying to do what God is one day going to do. Every knee is going to bow. Don't worry about that. Every knee is going to bow. My question today is, are we living our everyday life in a way that shows the authority of Christ over all creation? I'm convinced the miracle Jesus did, I want to show you the first thing we see God doing was bringing order to chaos in creation. And then fast forward to the Gospels and you got Jesus is showing us who God is in human flesh. And I'm convinced he did a lot of miracles, but I think that the one to me that I see the most visceral reaction from the disciples is the one I'm about to show you. It's the one where he demonstrated his power over creation. There was a horrible storm, a storm system, y'all, a massive storm on the water that they were on. And Jesus was asleep in the boat. And the Bible says he awoke in Mark. He awoke, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And look at their reaction. They were filled with great fear. And they said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? The sea obeys him. Now here's what happened. Now they're going to see him raise Lazarus from the dead. They don't freak out like this because that was a human, but there was something about that night that freaked them out. Because Jesus demonstrated that when he wants to, he has positional authority over everything. But that night, he stood up and said, let me show you that at any moment, I can call anything, not just under my positional authority. I can make it function the way I want to. And a storm obeyed him. A roiling sea stopped in its tracks. And the disciples, it says, literally are looking at each other going, maybe we should jump in the water just to get away from that guy because that is power like we can't imagine. That's so much power. How do you do that? Now watch this. This may blow your mind. But when you mow your grass or vacuum your carpet this week, you are acting like Jesus did in that boat. I know it's not as impressive. I know you're not making a storm stop and the wind stop. But when you bring order to chaos at any level, you are in a lesser way reflecting who he is. And you're like, hey, if you think this is cool how I took care of my yard, if you think I can weed eat with the best of them, if you think that's impressive, go to Mark chapter 4. And look what my king does. I'm just acting like him. If you think it's impressive how I sell houses, if you think it's impressive how I decorate interior design, if you think it's impressive how I take a group of sixth graders and teach them math, if you think that's impressive, Go read how my king, who I'm trying to act like, could make a storm bow before him. You see that? Connect the dots. One personal thing to end it. My granddad, and if you're around long, you'll know I'll talk about him a lot. He had a big impact on me. I grew up on his farm. And if I could go back, I would help him connect the dots. I'm convinced he never connected the dots. As much as he loved Jesus, my granddad, I'm convinced, believed that what he was doing on that 200-acre farm and all that work and all that order he brought over cattle, over he grew grains and things that he fed the world with, in a sense, cattle that fed people. He brought order to chaos all the time, taught me to do those things, bush hog, all this stuff. I was bush hogging at 11 years old, y'all, I'm telling you. And I'm convinced my granddad never saw what he was doing to the glory of God. He loved God, but he thought the God-glorifying stuff. He had such reverence for preachers. He was so proud of me going into ministry because he thought the church was the best thing ever. And I'm not saying I disagree with that, but I would go back and say, Pop, do you not realize that what you did all those years on that 200 acres that you cleared and turned into a farm that blessed people and you brought all that order to chaos, do you not know you were preaching sermons too? Did you not know that me and my brother and we were all watching and you were glorifying God? And I would go to him and I would try to make majesty out of what he thought was so mundane. I would want him to connect those dots for him to have that joy. And I want that. So here's what I would say today. Don't miss it like he did. As great as he was, I don't think he ever saw his little world as mattering that much. But it did. And so does yours. And I want tomorrow to connect to what you learned today for his glory. You with me, church? Whatever that is for his glory. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you for your authority today. And this question that everybody sees is at the end of their handout that asks, what are we going to see and bring under your authority in creation in our little world this week? How are we going to let this truth change us? I pray that that would apply to all of us today. By your grace, that you transform us, bringing you more glory and us more joy. By your grace, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.